Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from Building 17 here with a special guest to talk about some really interesting technology, Power BI. Tell us who you are and what you do, bud.
Yeah, I'm Josh Kaplan. I'm the Senior Program Manager on Power BI Embedded. And I'm basically in charge of taking Power BI and making it something that developers can use in their own applications.
So I've heard of Power BI, but now there was this extra word that you added called Power BI Embedded. So why don't you sort of walk us through just the generalities of Power BI, and then what does it mean to be embedded?
Yep. What you see on my screen here right now is Power BI itself. And Power BI is a business intelligence tool, and we try to target it towards everyone. We want everyone to be able to come into Power BI and find some value within their data within 5 minutes is our goal. What you see here is a dashboard. And if I click on a dashboard, you actually see it brings up our reporting experience. These are interactive reports. I can click on something here and it cross filters and highlights down other different charts. And these are different things that you as an end user can build and then visualize right here in Power BI.
So you mentioned two different things. One was a dashboard and one was a report. Can you tell us the difference between those two things?
Yeah, so the dashboard is really where you monitor what's going on. And it's meant to be kind of like a collage or a collection of pieces of reports. So let's say I'm exploring a report. I find something interesting. I find something that I want to monitor every single day. I go ahead and say pin. And now it's on my dashboard, and every day I come back, it'll update with the latest data and it'll always be here.
I see. So effectively, what it is you're building these visualizations reports that look sort of in depth at specific questions. And then if you have a particular part of that report that is important, you pin it to the dashboard and that's something you look at every day.
That's something you look at and you monitor. And then if you want to have more information, you want to drill into something a little bit more, you go back to what we call our Explorer experience, which brings back the full report, fully interactive. You can drill into more detail.
Sure, which is kind of cool, double level, right? There's like the stuff that you want to look at immediately, and then when you drill in, the stuff that sort of delves into whatever that is that it's exploring.
Yep. So as soon as Power BI came out, it's been almost exactly a year since we GA'd Power BI itself. Developers have been asking, okay, I want these same experience in the applications I'm building. So that's why we launched Power BI Embedded and have also just recently announced a GA of that as well.
So Power BI Embedded is, what is it? Is it just the same thing?
Power BI Embedded is basically a service now in Azure that lets you just take the components of Power BI and build your application around it or fit Power BI into your application. So I can show you here, this is an application that was built by a company called Milliman. They provide actuarial services to financial institutions and insurance companies. This is a data management tool they provide to their end users. It's called Integrate. And one key thing here is I'm logged in as one of the users of Milliman. This user has signed an agreement with Milliman. They have licenses with them. They've not signed up for Power BI. They may not even know anything about Power BI. But they're logged into Milliman's tool. And this tool actually does a lot of stuff on Azure. Basically, they let their end user go and set some parameters. And it'll go and run queries on HD Insight. And then they'll use Azure Data Factory to pull that data out. And they'll spin up new SQL Azure DBs and dump that data in there. So that's kind of a user do like a parameterized ETL.
Got it.
That used to be where the experience kind of stopped. But now with Embedded, they basically added this reporting tab. So I can click on reporting now. And I can bring up their report gallery. And again, this is Milliman's report gallery. This is not an experience of Power BI itself. But I see here that I can use three different reports. And I can click view. And I can open up a couple of these. They actually open up these little tabs on the top here. And what I have now is Power BI itself, fully interactive still. I can do all the same cross-highlighting that I could do before. But I didn't have to leave Milliman's application. I basically had the full Power BI experience right here without leaving the app, without having to sign up for additional licenses, without having to make my end users go out and buy Power BI licenses. They can use Power BI experiences right here within Milliman's app.
So that's interesting. So you're saying that the first thing we saw on Power BI, obviously, was the dashboards and the reports.
Yep.
And now what you're saying is that part or all of that functionality we can embed in our own applications?
Yep. Yeah, so we've started out with reports. That's the first piece we put in here. So you can get the fully interactive reports right in your apps, and we'll extend that out to dashboards and to the natural language query that we have and to the other features of Power BI as well.
That's amazing. So in essence, if I have a ton of data and I want to be able to give my users a really top, sort of really good experience on how to visualize it and look at it, we could just sort of embed Power BI into it.
Yep. And you can author your reports once, use them in the web, use them on mobile phones. anywhere that your application exists.
So as a developer, the first question I'd have is, well, there's two questions. One, how do I embed this into my application? And two, how does it know where my data is, right? So let's talk about those things.
So let's actually build an application just from start to finish.
Let's do it.
We can use the sample that we have up on the Azure Docs right now.
Okay.
So in order to actually embed a report, though, the first thing you have to do is actually build a report.
Sure.
And we wanted to make sure that you could use all the tools of Power BI to go ahead and build these reports. So there's a free download called the Power BI Desktop. I'm going to open up a new instance of it. And the Power BI Desktop is our report authoring environment. This is where we go and connect the data. And we can just do some simple drag and drop, and we can actually build out fully interactive reports. And we'll do one right now. So I can come here, I can say get data. And I'm going to go actually connect to a SQL Azure DB.
I see. And so if this lives on Azure, because it's a SQL Azure DB, it'll have access whether it's on your machine or in the cloud.
Correct. And I will go ahead. We're also currently working on adding support. Now, this will connect to it in the cloud. We're working on adding support also to SQL Azure that's sitting behind your firewall on-prem. So I'm going to connect to my server here, but I have two options to connect. One is import, and that means we actually go out and we just grab a chunk of data, a big chunk of data, and we'll store it either in this file or in memory in the Power BI service, and all the queries that happen after that happen against that kind of cache of data.
I see.
Or there's this direct query mode where we actually leave all the data where it is, and every time someone pivots on a report or filters something down, the queries get sent off to your SQL Azure DB. They'll run on that DB, and the results will come right back without any cache layer there. So that lets you actually have an infinite size of database, and your data is always up to date.
There's no periodic
refreshing of it or anything like that.
Is there a limit on the size of the data?
With direct query, there's no technical limit there. It's just all about how much you can optimize your database, how much you can scale it for the query patterns that we're
awesome.
Sending.
So import's really good if you want to just have a small local data set.
Yeah.
Direct query is more like, wow, I have way too much stuff. I got to do direct query.
And also, if you want your data just to be always the latest,
now
import, you have to periodically refresh over and over again. I'm a big fan of not copying data unless you have to.
Yeah.
So I'll pick one of my databases here, and I'll just go ahead and select a bunch of tables. So I can see a preview of each table as I'm selecting them. This is actually based off of the Azure sample DB. So if you go into SQL Azure and say Curate New and you say From Sample, you'll get this exact schema and you can follow along. I'll just take these fields here. Let's take these two. Why not? And say load. Now load is kind of, it's not really loading anything here. It's not pulling and connecting or getting the data, but it is going to connect to the database. And it is going to go look at the metadata of everything that's there. It's going to look at all the tables, the columns, or data types, what relationships are there.
Sure.
And what it's going to do as soon as that's done is it's going to build a model for us automatically. So I come over here, so I can zoom out a little. It went and found all the tables that were there. It drew the relationships in between them. And it basically built a data model for me without me having to do anything.
That's pretty cool.
And this is kind of like the secret magic behind how all that cross-highlighting and that extra filtering works out for you automatically.
Oh, I see.
Because we know how every piece of data is related. That way, when you select one thing, we can tell how to filter down something else that might be in a totally different table.
Got it.
So I can do, you can see the names on here, need a little cleaning. I can go ahead and clean up some of those things. And I went ahead and did some of that already. And I actually started building out a report.
Based on the same table.
Based on the same stuff.
Got it.
And what we'll do is we'll finish this report off. So what I have here is, this is a sales dashboard, and I have sales by the different sales reps. I have the revenue by the different sales reps, sales by the different product categories, and then sales that were sold to different companies. And let's say we want to add to this sales by different cities they were sold in.
Okay.
So I know I have a city field somewhere. I like to search for them. So I'm going to click on city. And automatically, we know that city is a location field, so we suggest a map visual.
And so you're automatically suggesting visuals based upon the data?
Based on the heuristics of the data. So I want to see revenue by city, so let me find revenue. I'll put that on my bubble size. That'll basically determine how big each bubble is. So it was just one click and one drag, and we basically have an out-of-the-box map visual. And it's an out-of-the-box map visual that's still connected up to the other visual. So if I click on something here, the map will filter down. Or if I click on something on the map, everything else will filter down.
I see. So just a quick question. So it looks like we have the fields over here on the right, and then we have the visualizations here, but we didn't really, we could drag one on, but it automatically picked one for us.
It automatically picked one. We can flip these around to different things if we want to, or we can, you know, keep it to the one that we got.
Sure. And the other thing is that down here are the actual items that we're going to be placing inside of the actual visualization.
This is how you bind your visual to your data.
And then this little paintbrush, I'm going to click on it here if you don't mind. This is, does this allow you to just style whatever the visualization is?
Yeah, if you notice, I put borders around the rest of these. I centered the text. You can change the colors that are on there, which I probably should have done as well. But yeah, it lets you basically customize this even further. We try to give you a good experience out of the box, but then you can always customize and take things a little bit further.
Awesome. Makes sense.
And speaking of that, maybe this map isn't what you need. Maybe you need a different map, and maybe we don't offer that map out of the box. We've actually open sourced all of our visuals. So we've taken the code for all the out of the box ones, and we put that up on GitHub. So you can go and you can find that, and you can use that as a starting point to make your own visualizations. So if you actually go and you look at visuals.powerbi.com, you'll see custom visuals that our community members have actually already built and then submitted to our gallery. You can go build basically anything you want. You don't have to submit it to our gallery, but you can use it within your reports. So one of my favorites is this globe map that is right here, which I've already downloaded and imported. Once you download one of those visuals, you can import them right here. And I'm going to go switch to that. And you can see now I have a 3D map. You know, it's a little bit interactive in here. And this does not ship with Power BI, but still, like any other Power BI visual, I can do anything here that any of the out-of-the-box visuals can do. I have the same field location that I can set these in my code when I define the visual.
Sure, and I think we have a video on Channel 9 where we actually show people how to make these using D3.
For example, we had Satya, one of our developers out there, And it's really powerful. So right here, the last map only let me have one data point on there. This one lets me have bar height and also heat intensity around the bar, so I can put quantity of the items sold on here. And then I'll kind of see, if you have really good eyes, you'll see the red kind of show up around bars. If you just make a D3 visual and you put that directly in your app, you just have a D3 visual. Here you have the whole data stack behind it, which means also you get all that cross-highlighting out of the box automatically. You don't have to do any special code to make this work. This just works as part of plugging your visual into Power BI.
That's great.
So I've gone ahead, we've gone ahead here, we built our report, now we need a place to put it. So to actually go ahead with that Power BI embedded, you can go to the Azure portal. And if you click on New, under Data and Analytics, you'll see Power BI embedded. Click on that. And this will take you to our Create Blade, which will let you create what's called a workspace collection. That's our Azure resource. It's just kind of a top-level container. It's where you put your geolocation in. It's what you'll show up as your line items on your Azure bill. And under that, you have workspaces. Those are just containers, kind of like folders almost, of just reports and data sets.
Ah, I see. So effectively, because if you have a Power BI account on the left-hand side, you have all of these sort of reports and dashboards. Yep. Same thing in this.
Yeah, if I'm a user of Power BI, I have my own workspace.
Right.
So I can create workspaces here. Now, you don't have to assign one workspace per user if you don't want to. What you can do is you can put everything in one workspace, and then you can use security to kind of filter things down so certain people only see certain things.
Got it.
And one thing to point out here, as I showed with Milliman, I was logged in as a Milliman user. The application is actually the one who's in control of all the security. So the application will do the authentication and authorization. And then they have a concept called app tokens where they can actually go and delegate those permissions back to Power BI. So it leaves really the full control of security in the hands of the app developer. That way you don't have to rewrite your security. You don't have to switch over to anything else to actually go ahead and start using Power BI.
Got it.
Just continue doing what you're doing. So let me name this workspace collection. These are globally unique. So we call it, assuming I haven't used that before. I pick which description it goes in. I pick which resource it goes in, resource group. I'll pick an existing one. and I can pick the location it's going to go into. You know, we're in 9 data centers around the world right now. I'm going to pick this one, and I can say, okay, pin and create. It's just only take a couple seconds. It's going out and it's provisioning my own instance of basically Power BI. And once it's done, it's going to load the information blade for that workspace collection. And it'll just tell us, you know, basic information about what we had created. So we created one workspace collection. It has 0 workspaces in it right now. You know, here's the location it's in, etc. Now, what is this is the extent of what we do right now pretty much in the Azure portal. To do the rest of the work, we actually have to go write some code. Or you can actually go and if you click on getting started, we have sample code that pretty much automates the rest of the steps for you as well. Getting started here, we'll show you the steps I'm about to show, and then you can download the sample as well. I've already downloaded the sample. And the sample is actually kind of 2 samples. It's an embed sample and a provision sample. The provision sample is kind of like your deployment utility you'd write, or if you're going to dynamically provision content for users at runtime, this is where that code would kind of sit. Then the embed sample is like the actual web app itself. This is where the reports are going to show up in. So it's a full website here, which has a report catalog. We can actually view the embedded reports.
So let's see if I understand. The embed sample is what the users actually see.
Yes.
The provision sample is code that determines what the user can see.
Provision sample is basically what sets up your application. So if you have if you're going to deploy your app, let's say your app's fully built on Azure, it uses Azure websites, SQL, Azure, you're going to write some sort of deployment that's going to go and deploy those websites, going to deploy those databases. It'll also deploy Power BI embedded, and that's basically what the code in the provision sample shows you how to do.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and actually provision a new workspace and load our reports to it. I'm going to go ahead and start this.
I see. So this is what actually creates the workspaces then?
Yeah. Okay. Creates the workspaces, upload the files. And this is just a sample. So you would use this code in your application when you're going to go create workspaces and upload reports.
Got it.
So there's several steps in here. Really, the first 4 we actually already did through the Azure UI itself. Create the workspace collection, we can get the API keys and all that stuff we can do through the Azure UI. But it's in here because anything you can do in the Azure UI, you can also automate through APIs. And we wanted to make sure you had code samples to see how to do that automation. So we're going to start actually on step 5, which is create a new workspace. Let me go side by side here for a minute. And so it's going to ask you for the workspace collection name, which we can, if we forget, we can easily get from the Azure portal. And our API key. So API keys are important. This is kind of how that delegation works. So when you're making REST API calls, all these service-to-service calls, you can use the API keys directly to authenticate your calls. However, when you're doing the embedding, that's all happening client-side. So you don't want to give your API keys to your client.
Sure.
So we have a concept called app tokens, which is a little JWT token or JWT token. It's a piece of JSON, has a bunch of claims in it. It says what the holder of that token can do. Then you'll sign it with one of these API keys. So I'll find the keys here. We have 2 in case you need to roll them. Just take 1, pop it in there. And it'll say, okay, workspace is created. And there's the ID of it. If I go reload our blade, we'll see now that we have 1 workspace. So we got a place to put our report. Now we need to put the report in there. So that'll be step 6. It's going to ask me for the display name for it. Let's call it sales report. Sales dashboard, file path, go to my cheat sheet.
And this is just like where you save, because when you're working on the client Power BI desktop, for example, you will save a PBIX file, right?
Correct, and I double-clicked, I think. Let me open that up again. Yeah, once you've done the desktop file, you save it, now you have a local file, so we need to get that into the service. And what a lot of sites have done is they've gone ahead and they've actually created doesn't like when I press the Windows button. Mm. They've gone ahead and they've created like little admin parts of their page where admin users can actually go into the desktop, create reports, and then they've created an upload button for them so they can go and actually load it in.
I see. So this example, while you're getting it fired up again, this example is more to show you here's the kinds of things you could do on the administrative sides of the dashboard/reports.
Yep.
And so this is what the provisioning thing is all about.
Yep.
And then the other one is more of a, now that you've provisioned and have some workspaces with some reports in them, this is how you actually embed the existing reports into your application.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is usually either a setup time thing, or you can dynamically go ahead and do these at runtime if you have that upload button in there.
All right, so it looks like it's actually created the actual report by uploading the PBIX file, the local one, up into the cloud.
Yep. Okay. So we have the report there. Now remember, it was a direct query data source, so it needs to talk to SQL Azure. So we need to give it credentials to talk to SQL Azure.
Right.
And that's what the step 7 will do here. It'll let me set the username and password for it. Now I can also go ahead and change the connection information. Let's say I developed on a development server, and now I'm deploying this to prod.
Mm-hmm.
I might want to change the connection information that points to the prod database.
Right.
I'll skip that for now, but Milliman actually, they use the same report maybe 100 different times, so they'll have the same schema for their databases, but different data inside of them, so they'll use the reports as templates, and they'll basically just change the connection information each time.
And again, I think it's important to note that this is not a utility to do this, but this
right.
is an example
is
of how you can do all of these things in your own code.
Yep, now imagine these operations happening just within your app itself.
Right.
So now we have a report, it can talk to SQL Azure, it's in our workspace collection. Now we want to go ahead and actually view it, use it in our app. So we come out of here, let's go to the embed sample here. And the embed sample, let's close these out, get some room. It's a web app, it's going to have a web config, and we're going to point it to our workspace here. So if you come down, that's not a web config at all. That's the web
config. There you
go. So if you come down here, there's a thing that asks for the access key, which I think is still in my clipboard.
Yep.
Yeah, I was right. Where is home on the
there
Surface
it is.
Book? Ah, all right. I have to put the function thing on.
There you go.
There, function off. Okay, the workspace collection name. And the workspace ID. Now this app happens to be hard-coded to one workspace. You can have as many workspaces and workspace collections as you want, and you can dynamically change these. The reason we created workspaces under workspace collections is we wanted you to have one set of API keys, and you could have as many separations as you want under that without having to manage API keys for every single workspace.
Got it.
But if you want to have a bunch of API keys, you can have a bunch of workspace collections as well. So let's go ahead and start this up. Build and run. So again, this is a full application. And the idea of Power BI Embedded is not to build report viewers around Power BI reports. I mean, that's what Power BI is for. It's meant to be built into applications that do other things. So this is not a BI application. It's an application. It has other information on it. It's used for other purposes, but it happens to have some reports.
Sure.
I'm signed in here as a user. I can go ahead and I can click on sales report, and it'll go ahead and within this experience here, it'll go ahead and load that sales report. That's the same one we did.
I see.
And now it's live talking to SQL Azure. Bring that globe back up. It's going that live and talking directly to SQL Azure. And every time I click on one of these things here, it's going to go ahead and cross highlight, filter down the other things that are on there. I love the globe visual, but it's a very big piece of code. It takes an extra second to load each time. And every time I'm clicking on one of these things, again, it's sending queries out for each of these visuals right to SQL Azure, running it and bringing it back and visualizing it all in that time span. So anytime the data changes there, I click on something else, I'll see the updated data here.
Okay, so two questions.
Yep.
The first question is, let's just say I have a user that logs in and I want to restrict the information that they can query, like put a pre-filter on there. Is there a way to do that?
Actually, a perfect question. So you see here, I'm logged in here as this user here.
Right.
And this user is at the very real company of contoso.com.
Of course.
So let's say this was a sales application and they sell products from multiple different companies. And basically when a user of that company logs in, they should only see sales for their company.
Sure.
So we have someone here from Contoso. And when we expand the different sales reps here, and I kind of zoom in a little bit, you'll see there's people here from Contoso, but there's people here also from InventureWorks. We're actually seeing too much data.
Yeah.
Way more than we should be. So with the GA of Power BI embedded, we released a new feature called Row Level Security.
Oh, okay.
So I can come back to our desktop file here. And zoom out again. Now you can see in here I have a user table. This is where all the users of our application live. And then I have a tenant table. So I have in here InventureWorks, or I have in here Contoso. And I have a mapping of which users are in which tenant. Now that's connected to our sales table. So what I can do is I can actually filter on the logged in user, and that will let me that logged in user see all the data just for their tenant in this
sure.
case. Now I could have restricted it to just the user, just the data that user has sold. But the security policy for this was they can see everything within their company. So to do that, I can actually click on I can actually go in here and click on modeling. And I have these things called roles. I can create a new role, let's call it tenant. And on the user table, I'm going to add a formula where it's the user, there's a column called name. And I say equals username. And this is a function, and this function will return whoever the logged in user is.
Got it.
Now, in Power BI Embedded, there is actually no logged in user because the user is actually logging into your app. So your app, when they generate that app token I was talking about, they need to pass in some extra information. So if we actually go back to the sample real quick, let's stop you. Full screen for a minute. Where we actually set up our embed token here, I'm going to comment this line out and go to this other one down here where I'm actually passing in we generate the token, I'm passing in a couple extra claims. One is the user. Now, in reality, you'd make this dynamic. You'd
sure.
look at who the signed in user is, and you'd take it from that rather than hard coding it. And then you're also going to pass in the role you want to use, so tenant. Now, in order for us to actually use that, I need to upload this again real quick. So let me just go back to our sample.
You should be able to right-click and publish, right, on the provision sample?
Embed sample. I need to upload the report again.
Yeah.
Which, thought I had two monitors originally.
Yeah.
So let me upload the, we'll just do another import of a PBIX file. Just need to get our information one more time. Workspace collection name, workspace ID. Let's call this one secured. File path one more time.
So it's the same one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the next. It's the other one.
Yeah. It's the same. In theory, it would be the same file. Otherwise, to upload, I have to actually close them, so
sure.
I always have a second copy there. Oops. I can leave it open. And then the access key. There we go, and upload.
And the stuff you're seeing here is obviously stuff that can be automated.
This would be
well.
Fully automated, yeah. And we're actually going to have management UI. You can go and upload these things through some UI as well. We wanted to make sure that everything was automatable to start with.
But my sense is that you're not going to want to do this through Azure because it's going to be part of your own application.
It's part of your own app, and your app needs to know everything that's going on because
sure.
your app's in charge of securing it. So we have it up there. Now let's go ahead and just run the embed sample again. And now we'll have two reports. Now I could have just replaced the other one. But we have two reports, and now we're adding this username into that access token. It loads, now I have the secured report. Obviously, I'd want them all to be secured. And when this one loads, you'll see now the data is going to be different. And we can compare it to the other one. You'll see now all the sales reps that are in here. And we'll open it up and zoom in. They're all from Contoso now, just like the user who's logged in.
Got it.
So there's no way for an end user to actually go ahead and remove this if they wanted to. This is done at the very deep levels of Power BI, and if they were to go, there's no way for them to actually go and remove that. It's in our app token. Our app token signed, so it's a very secure way of you being able to manage your security within your own app, but also still delegate those permissions to Power BI and have a secure experience.
So perfect answer then. So that answers the first question, which is how do I restrict the data? There's row level security. You can do some stuff with security from the PBIX file that you upload. The end user has no way of changing that at all.
Right.
The second question is, obviously this is a larger application where you're embedding Power BI into it. Mm-hmm. How do you embed that in? Is there like some kind of, I'm wondering, is there like an ASCX file? If you're using MVC, ASP.MVC, how do you drag that in? Is it just an iframe?
It is. Right now, it's just an iframe. So anything that can host an iframe can host Power BI embedded. And I'm happy to announce that actually in a couple weeks, we're going to have a much improved client-side SDK that's going to go with this. That's going to let you actually fully interact with the things within the iframe and also basically send information into the iframe and get information back out.
For example,
I can send filters in or I can get click events out. I can do stuff with that within the app itself. So it's not just like you have Power BI just sitting there. Power BI actually becomes more of a part of your application.
Got it. So there's an iframe and you're putting in a special URL, I guess, in there.
Right. Yeah. You'll get an embed URL back for each thing you upload. You basically call that URL, you give it that app token, and it'll render here. With the new client-side API, you'll be able to actually subscribe to the click events and also pass in filtering information and other information as well. Like turning off the navs here, turning off the filter bars, and you can build your own controls that have just as much interaction as the built-in ones.
So once you have the ability of Power BI embedded to send information out of its frame into your app, you can do changes there. And then you can do the same vice versa into the Power BI.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite demos where someone built a ticketing app.
Okay.
Yeah, it sells tickets to concerts. And if I click on a particular concert, I'm going to go buy some seats. When it loads, it tells me I can purchase the tickets, how much they are. But down here also, it has a seating chart that is actually a Power BI custom visual. So it's a seating chart, tells me which seats are taken. The red ones are the ones that are taken. The rest are the ones that are open. Now, in order to buy the seats right now, I have to come up here and click the ones I want to buy. But when we have the events piece in here, I'll actually be able to click the individual seats. You'll be able to get the events out, and you can actually go buy the tickets right from here.
Got it. This is pretty cool. So where can people go to find out more or download these samples?
You can go to dev.powerbi.com or look for our documentation on the Azure Doc Center if you go to azure.com.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to add in closing?
No. I would say get started with Power BI itself. You can go to powerbi.com. You can sign up for free. All it takes is an email address. You can play around, build reports there. And then when you're ready to build your own applications, go to Power BI Embedded and just bring all that power right into your own app.
Fantastic. Well, this has been super helpful. We have learned today not only about Power BI, but how to do Power BI embedded using the new Azure sort of portal experience, how to actually manage these things using your own code, and then how to embed these visualizations into your own app. And coming soon, the ability to interact with these powerful visualizations inside and outside. Thanks so much for spending some time with us,
bud.
Thank you. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We're building 17. We'll see you next time. Take care.